Luke chapter 15, we're going to study the first 10 verses. One of the reasons is there's plenty in this material for our Sunday school lesson, but then also when we get to verse 11, we're going to study the prodigal son, and that takes us all the way to the end of the chapter, so that would have been too much to study in one lesson, both these verses and that as well. So we'll go with the first 10 verses, and let's read them together. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, what starts this whole conversation between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees is that publicans and sinners have shown up, and they've come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded when I read this passage, every time I read it, I'm reminded of this story that I heard a long time ago. There was a little girl that came back from Sunday school, and her mother said, How was it? She said, Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I found out that my name is in the Bible. And she said, Honey, I've read the Bible at least a couple of times, and I've never seen, your name is not in the Bible. I don't know how you could have possibly concluded that. I mean, I've read it. She said, Your name, Edith, is not in the Bible. She said, No, it is. Because the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 15, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I just had to say that once again. I love that little story. But that's what happened. He's receiving these sinners, these publicans, and he's eating with them. You know, I think it would help us if we understood a little bit more about publicans as we go into this particular text and why that was such a rub with the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, part of the reason that it bothered them is that they listened to what Jesus had to say. They followed him, the publicans and sinners did. The Pharisees and the scribes, on the other hand, did not believe him and they didn't follow him. Jesus Christ, when he is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, when he says, You're of your father the devil, he also says in verse 47, Ye therefore hear them not, speaking of his words, because you are not of God. Boy, don't you know that that would really, really cause them anger. You're saying that we're not of God, and those guys that you're hanging around with, you say they are of God? This is, no, not acceptable. Now, who are publicans? Publicans are agents of the Roman government who were involved in the collection of money, like taxes, customs, tolls and tributes. So there are a lot of them because there are a lot of ways that the Roman government found to collect money off of people. You see it today in our areas where you pay to park and you pay to drive on certain roads and, you know, you pay sales tax every time you buy something at the store and so forth and so on. So these were agents of the government and they were Hebrews and they were the ones that were responsible for collecting this stuff. Well, you wouldn't be any happier with them than you would be with an IRS agent that showed up to audit your tax return Okay, so these guys were just despised in society. Now, it also is interesting to notice who they're grouped with. So already, just by virtue of the fact that they're collecting money for the Roman government, they're put into a group or categorized with certain people. Let me just show you here. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. When the Lord is talking about how you try to settle or reconcile a difference with a brother, you go to him first, then you take somebody with you, then you go to the church. And if he doesn't listen to the church, look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, watch it. Let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So publicans are grouped in with these heathen men. They're also, look in Matthew chapter 21, grouped with another high-class citizen group. Matthew chapter 21, verse 32, Jesus Christ is talking about two men that were given a command to do something, two sons. One said he would and didn't. The other said he wouldn't and he did. Verse 31, whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. Wow, what a group. They're grouped up with the heathen, grouped up with the prostitutes. So obviously, in society, they are considered to be off-scouring. And not only that, but they use their power to get more than what they were entitled to collect. Okay, they were taking some extra. Turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. So it was well known, because they had this position of authority, that they could make up some fees, some penalties and things, and keep some of that money for themselves. When the publicans came to be baptized of John, in Luke chapter 3, verse 12, they said, well, what should we do? And he said this, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto Master, what shall we do? At verse 13, he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Indicating that that's exactly what they'd been doing. Do you remember when Jesus Christ went to have a meal with Zacchaeus? And Zacchaeus, while eating with Jesus Christ, said, half my goods I give to the poor. And then he said this, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That was a common practice of the publicans, to make a false accusation, therefore charge extra, keep the part that they had that was the overage, and return the rest to the Roman government. Zacchaeus was the chief of the publicans and admitted that. So you can just already understand that if anybody was going to be despised in this society, those guys were, by pretty much everybody, and particularly by the Pharisees, and by the scribes. And so Jesus Christ is eating with these people, and the Pharisees are murmuring. In Luke chapter 15, verse 2, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In other words, how could a man who claims to be the Messiah, the King of our country, have anything to do with these despicable people? He can't be our Messiah and be hanging out with these guys. That's what's running through their minds, and that's what they're murmuring about. That's what they're upset about. But I'll tell you, the reason that Jesus Christ, it's obvious in the text, why he would eat with them and converse with them and not with the Pharisees and the scribes unless they invited him, is that they wanted to hear him. Look at verse 1 again. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. What, for what person? To hear him. That's what we're doing here today. And it doesn't make any difference what you were before you got here. You came to hear him from the words of God. And the Pharisees and the scribes came to stop him. They didn't want to hear. You know what they said about him in Matthew chapter 11? They say, he's a friend. of publicans and sinners. In other words, consider he can't be our king. Consider the class of citizen that he hangs out with. You know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. So this is why they're so upset. This is why they're murmuring in the beginning of our passage that we're studying today. So Jesus Christ, in order to answer the murmuring Pharisees and scribes, spoke a parable. And let's read the parable again. In verse 3, he spake a parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now, they are an agrarian society. They live in a city, but everybody around them, it's all agriculture. So when Jesus Christ gives parables about seeds and sowers and plants growing, they know about that. They're outdoors. They see all that. And they also know about shepherds and sheep. And if you've ever read about shepherds and sheep, it's a very common practice. Every morning, every evening, the shepherd goes among his flock to make sure that they're all there. Because sheep are dumb, and sheep are prone to wander, and they'll go astray. And if a sheep goes astray, it has no sense of the danger that it's getting into. It can get caught in a thicket and die because it can't get out. It could get eaten by a predator. It could jump off a cliff. Just that's the way they are. They need to be kept together, and they desperately need a shepherd. And so if he sees out of his 100 sheep that one of those is missing, then he's going to go and try to find that sheep. Even if he has to look all day, which is what you see here, he leaves these 99 in the wilderness and he goes after that which is lost. Look at that. Until he find it. He's not going to give up on that. The flock generally will stay together and won't have another one stray, generally. But he can spend as much time as is necessary to go find that one sheep that's missing. In verse 5, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, for two reasons. You know, you don't rope them and drag them like you might a cow. It didn't have trailers and pulled behind a pickup, you know. So he takes that one and throws it up on his shoulders, and he'll carry that back to the flock. And obviously he's rejoicing, which is very important to him not to lose even one, and rejoicing because after how much ever time it took him to find that sheep, he was successful, and the sheep had not been tangled up in something poisonous or devoured by a predator or, you know, in a ravine where he couldn't get it out or, God forbid, off a cliff. Now, in this parable, after he finds this sheep, verse 6, then he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors. It's very important to him. And friends and neighbors are aware too. Why would they be aware? Because he would have said the same thing to them. I've lost one of mine. If you happen to see it, you know, let me know it's mine missing. And they're going to be interested because you don't want to the shepherds don't want to lose sheep. So they're going to rejoice with him. And that's what he calls them to do. Rejoice with me. For I found my sheep, which was lost. And now he says, here's what this parable is about. You all see this because this is what you do. Let me tell you why I'm doing what I do. Because I say unto you, verse 7, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So Jesus Christ, when he was here, what did he call himself in John chapter 10? I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. All right. So people are likened to sheep. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is come in among the flock, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he's looking for the strays. He's looking for the strays, and he's explaining to the Pharisees and to the scribes who are murmurings, guys, I'm finding the strays, and heaven is rejoicing. And I'm rejoicing because these are my sheep that are lost. So that's a very good parable for the problem at hand. Now, he says, I'm looking, I would look, he said, if I only had one missing and I could only find one. But the truth of the matter is, everywhere he went, there were many. And in this particular case, all the publicans and sinners came or drew near to him for to hear him. There are lots of them. He would do it for just one, but there are lots of them that are responding to what he's saying. Look with me in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. These guys hear him. You know, they recognize. Obviously, if you're in a society where you're despised by the Pharisees, then what do you think your attitude toward the Pharisees is? You're not going to like them either. So in Mark chapter 2, look at verse 15. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Luke chapter 5 says there was a great company of publicans. So this is an interesting thing. He's out there looking for the strays, but he's not just finding one. He's finding many. And the Pharisees are like, he's obviously not one of us, and he's obviously not the one we're looking for. So the question they ask is this: how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Why is he doing this? And the answer is in the parable. Number one, because they're lost. They're supposed to be in the fold. They're not in the fold. They've strayed away from the fold. And sin has led them out. Greed has led them out. Their occupation has led them out. Out and among us, people that are not with the Lord right now are out for a number of reasons they might say. But somebody's got to go find them. Jesus Christ would eat with them because they were lost. Now, it's interesting that he does this. We tell people here, like Robert, who's now in Kingsville, and Ori, who's now in Reunion Island, Josh, who's pastoring the Spanish church up there near his house, and we said to them, you have to build relationships with people. If you're going to minister to them and see some of them come to Jesus Christ, you have to build relationships with them. Well, in our society, one of the great ways to do that is take them out for a meal or have them come to your house for a meal. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was doing. We're following his pattern. Because when you have that opportunity to speak with them and they with you, that opens the door for conversations about the Lord. Speaking of which, one of the things that Ori is doing in Reunion Island is that he is using his ability to coach tennis to help the youth in their city where they live now who have no activities, but they have a tennis coach and a court and nobody to teach them. And the president of that club has asked him if he would do that, and they were willing to pay him. He said, I don't want to be paid. I just want to help take care of the kids. That's building relationships. Well, you know what? The president of the club had them over for supper, and then Lizzie and Ori had him and their family over for supper, and then they met yesterday for a picnic. That's what you do. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was eating. Why? Because they're lost and they needed to hear the gospel. And you don't get to just rope them and choke them and then give them a 3-minute gospel message and force them to pray a prayer and then walk away and say, thank God they're saved. All right. The second reason is in the parable that he would do this is because he rejoices when he finds one. In other words, what was Jesus Christ? In Isaiah 53, when Isaiah is writing about our suffering servant, the Lord said in that passage, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was not much that Jesus Christ got to do in the ministry that caused him joy. One of the things was that God revealed the truths of the Scripture to babes and not to the wise and prudent. He rejoiced in spirit the day that he thanked God for that. And the other reason is, lost were coming back to the fold. That's what brought him joy. So he did it because they were lost. He did it because he rejoices when he finds one, and he did it because heaven rejoices. The Father sent him. The Father sent him, and that was his commission. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 15:24 says. And every time he found one, heaven rejoices. Why wouldn't he do it? Even though it drew criticism from the religious crowd. So we know that there are many that came to hear him. There were many that followed him, and he sat down with many. We see all that. He found some of these in particular. He found some in particular. In other words, there are some that are named. Go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 27. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Who is Levi? That's Matthew, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. That's Matthew, a publican. So one of his disciples was one of these guys. I don't know if you realize that until now as we're studying it. You know he picked some fishermen and all. He picked Matthew. He picked a guy named Levi and brought him in as one of his disciples. Don't you know that when the Pharisees saw his cronies, a bunch of commercial fishermen, you know they have a saying today, he cusses like a sailor, right? So he got that caliber of guys for the first four, and one of the next ones he picks up is a publican. You know, Jesus Christ was not gaining many points with the religious crowd when he picked this motley crew. But may I tell you something? He wasn't gaining many points when he picked us either, did he? But thank God he picked us, right? Oh, man. All right, so a publican named Levi. Go back to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Where was he? Up in the sycamore tree. Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. You see how that thing is? Pharisees wanted to run him out of town. These other guys wanted to know him. And their interest piqued his interest in them. So another one, and you know that Zacchaeus came around. He said, the Lord said in verse 9, this day of salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. What reason? Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was, help me, lost. Zacchaeus, by name, the chief of the publicans, Matthew, Levi, formerly a publican. These were his guys. Look back at Luke chapter 7. You see, when the Pharisees came to see what was going on with John's baptism, they refused to be baptized. We're not doing that. But when publicans came and they heard preaching concerning Jesus Christ, they had a different attitude. Luke chapter 7. Verse 27 through 29, we want 29, but just here's the context. Luke chapter 7, verse 27, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. If that doesn't clearly demonstrate what was going on with the publicans and the problems between them and the Pharisees, I don't know what else to tell you. Now, back here in our text, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus Christ describes the situation again with another illustration. In Luke chapter 15, in verse 8, he says this, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece?" Oh, that'd be a desperate situation. It sounds like in her case, it'd be pretty hard to come by 10 pieces of silver. So one would be of great value to her. If she lose one piece, what's she going to do? "Doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek" how? "Diligently for" how long? "Till she find it." Just like that one looking for the sheep. "Till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy." Now he adds this, "in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Not just joy in heaven, but in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Have you ever heard people talk about their guardian angel? Do you ever wonder where that came from? It comes from the passage you're going to look at now. It's a misapplication of the passage, but you'll understand why they say it when you read it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Jesus Christ is talking about offending little ones. Verse 6. "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones," he's talking about children there in verse 5. Then he says this, "Take heed" in verse 10, "that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." So it's not like a guardian angel is looking at them all the time. It's like that angel is looking at God all the time. Okay, "but their angels do always behold." So the angels of children, little children, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." There it is again. "How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So God's interest is in those publicans and those sinners, even in the Pharisees and scribes. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Who would turn to the Lord as the Lord went to seek them? So when he says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, now you know why. Because their angels were always beholding the face of their Father which is in heaven. They're just as much desiring, just as much concerned that they come to Christ as heaven in general would be, and as Jesus is. So they rejoice. Why eat with them and seek them? Well, we already answered three things from the parables, right? Because they're lost, because he rejoices, because heaven rejoices, or now, as you've seen, even the angels in heaven rejoice. But why else would he do that? There's one other reason, and it's implied in the passage that we're reading, and it is revealed in a passage in the Old Testament. You want to see it? Turn with me to Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. Why would Jesus do this? Well, I'll show you. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, Verse 2. Make sure everybody gets there, and then we'll read the passage together. We'll skip a little bit in it, but we'll read the pieces that we need. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Verse 16. I will seek that which was, next word, lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, and I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. You know why Jesus Christ sought them and ate with them? Because the scribes and Pharisees wouldn't. These are the guys, the scribes and Pharisees, these are the ones who knew the law. These are the ones who read the law. These were the religious leaders of the day. And they looked at the publicans and sinners and said, stay away from those guys. You'll have nothing to do with them. Rather than going over to them to find out why it was they strayed and how to bring them back into the fold. So Jesus Christ came to do it because the people that were murmuring against him would not do it. And the Lord said, I'll feed those guys, the publicans and sinners, but you I'll feed with judgment. And he does. In Matthew chapter 23, he says to the scribes and Pharisees, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And he got after them. You devour widows' houses, he said, and for a pretense make long prayer. They use their religious office to get rich and to get notoriety and to get station in life. They were more wicked than the publicans and did not see themselves as in the same class with them. Why did Jesus eat with them? Because nobody else would. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is a fabulous passage of Scripture to discern. That really and truly, it was the Pharisees and the scribes that should have been disdained that day, not the publicans and the harlots. Yeah, Jesus isn't condoning their sin, and neither do we. Neither do we condone our own sin. He wasn't doing that. He was interested in their souls and the concern for the lost. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Verse 9, for the context, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the scribes and Pharisees. That's the despised, the publicans and sinners. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other, wouldn't you know it, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew what he was. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a remarkable passage of Scripture for a cross-reference to the passage we're studying today to get an understanding. I have one more place that I want to show you why it was, and I mean, this summarizes the whole thing, and that is, the question has always been today in our study, why would he eat with publicans and sinners? Well, we've seen today why. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, one more passage of Scripture for our cross-reference today on this fabulous Scripture we're studying, this passage we're studying today. Matthew chapter 21, verse 32. John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. That's the problem. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, what are the next two words? Repented not. What brought joy to heaven? What brought joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven? One sinner that repenteth. They repented not. Did they need repentance? Absolutely. Did they repent? They repented not afterward, that you might believe him. And therein lies the problem. So Jesus Christ came to seek the lost so that he would have joy when they got saved, so heaven would rejoice, and so that lost would now be found. Which is a great introduction to the parable of the prodigal son that we're going to study the next time we study together. But I would just have one practical thing to say to us today, one application that's practical for us today before we dismiss and take a break. Should we not, with what we know, and should not, with what we've received, be diligently seeking the lost? This yes, amen means this, or a nod means this, and no means no. We'll be like the Pharisees and the scribes, and we'll just look down our nose at people that are, no. I don't know where you were when God found you. I know where I was. People in society wouldn't have an idea about what my life was like. But in perspective with God, I know what my life was like. And I would say publicans and sinners are better than me. But I'm thankful that God found me and saved me. And so he's going to use us to talk to other people, but we got to remember those are lost sheep. You look at them and say, oh, look at that horrible situation. Well, sin does that to people. It is a horrible situation. But you see, now we are the 99 that need no repentance, if you will. We're here now. But there's still lost ones out there that need a shepherd. And we know the shepherd, and we want to make sure that they get acquainted with him and that they get right with him. Don't you agree? Yeah, because we can't trust the religious crowd today to do anything more today than what they've been doing for 2,000 years. It's going to take beggars who got saved to go find beggars who need to be saved. Father, thank you today for the opportunity to study the words of God. We're thankful for what you've instructed us in this lesson. Now we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us remember it so when we study it again, it comes back to us, but also to be compelled by it to recognize there are still people that need you that are lost. You use us to help find them, and we ask you to do that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Yes. All right.